the virus threat has just cast a shadow over the entire primary election campaign at this point in time.
Coronavirus gets political. It's Tuesday, March 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Democrats debate as they aim for President Trump's job. Will warm weather help with the virus outbreak? Effects on the economy and elderly. Miami has great street art. It's all on today's VOA Asia. It has been another tumultuous day here in the United States and around the world. First, wherever you may be listening, we hope you're doing well. As normal life in the United States quickly came to a halt with mandated closures of businesses beginning in many states, stock prices on Wall Street plunged early Monday. Despite an extraordinary move taken by the Federal Reserve a day earlier to boost investor confidence, the S&P 500 index fell 8% in the opening seconds. That prompted an automatic 15-minute halt to stock trading. And when the trading resumed, stock prices continued to dive, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average losing as much as 2,500 points, a drop of 11%, and it kept going. Markets finished down between 12 and 13%. U.S. President Donald Trump on Monday joined a video conference with other G7 leaders to coordinate action in response to COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. That was prior to a scheduled video conference with all 50 U.S. state governors on the same topic. Trump and other members of his administration are seeking to quell a panicky nation after the shelves at many stores across the country went bare due to hoarding amid the coronavirus pandemic. VOA Asia's Doug Bernard spoke with national correspondent Jim Malone about how the nation of voters on edge are viewing the two remaining Democrat challengers for the White House amid the health crisis.
Jim Malone, it's an understatement to say that there is a lot going on right now in the world of politics. Let's just take a quick look back. There was a debate, a bit of an odd debate, on Sunday. There was no audience. The candidates were, you know, standing way far apart from each other. What exactly played out during that debate?
Yeah, the optics said a lot there, didn't they? They were separated because of the coronavirus situation. It obviously the virus threat has just cast a shadow over the entire primary election campaign at this point in time. It comes at an interesting time because we've seen in recent weeks this tremendous surge by former Vice President Joe Biden into a lead that, you know, could be insurmountable now over Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. So going into that debate, I think Sanders was hoping to find a way to sort of change that dynamic somehow. But when you have so much concern in the public over the coronavirus, It had to dominate that debate. It did. Both men gave their sort of prescriptions how they would handle it if they were president. And then, you know, Biden was on the defensive a bit as Sanders tried to attack his record as basically not being progressive enough. But at the end of the day, it doesn't look like that debate is going to have a big bearing on where the race seems to be headed. Though, again, the race is sort of getting second billing right now, given the national emergency.
Well, here's how at least two states are handling the coronavirus right now. They're postponing their primary elections. And we don't know for how long. We don't know if there are going to be other states that join in there. Is there a worry that not only might these votes not happen, but really, you know, this year's entire political process might just really be loused up because of this?
That's right. I mean, you have to go back to the beginning of the voting season in Iowa, which was an unrelated catastrophe, but still something was in the wind. And I'll be very interested to see on Tuesday how many people show up for the four states that are voting. And they're big states, Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Ohio. All states, by the way, where the polls indicate Biden has a lead of some kind over Sanders. So Sanders looks to try to get back in the race, but it doesn't look like this week may be the best week. But let's see how the voting goes in those states, who shows up.
Right.
Some of these states have been voting ahead early on by mail and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it looks like moving forward, the primaries go into early June at least. This situation is likely to be with us, and how the party and the candidates respond remains to be seen.
Stay with us as the conversation continues in just a moment. These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Unprecedented lockdown of Manila expected to cut Philippine economic growth. China's airlines to cut international flights due to coronavirus. Rising COVID-19 cases pose challenge to Pakistan's crumbling healthcare system. Presidential rift, coronavirus eclipse Afghan peace deal. New Zealand mosque attacks memorial canceled as virus fears mount. Read and watch much more when you visit VOA Asia on Facebook and Twitter, plus the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. VOA Asia's Doug Bernard continues his conversation with national correspondent Jim Malone as they explore the possible effect coronavirus will have on politics as we move closer to the U.S. presidential election.
Could any of this, do you think, blunt either Biden's momentum or Sanders' efforts to sort of regain the conversation?
You know, my sense of watching the debate on Sunday was that, if anything, the race is kind of frozen in place now, that this overarching focus on the coronavirus and what the United States is trying to do and people's personal lives, how they're handling the stress, the political campaign is kind of on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And it makes it even harder, I think, for Bernie Sanders to try to reset it and try to get a leg up on Biden. And Biden had a reasonably good performance on Sunday night. Sanders was aggressive at times. But if it doesn't really change the dynamic that much, that means the race kind of stays where it is, where Biden is ahead.
A few months ago, not that we are so prescient, but we put out a feature that was asking the question before anybody was really talking about coronavirus, which is, you know, to what degree is this going to come to dominate U.S. politics in this election year? It clearly has come to dominate the national attention and spotlight. How long do you think that will happen, and what do you think what are the possible effects of that?
Right. I mean, I think we can see right now, we can't see anything in the foreseeable future that's, as we used to say, going to knock it off the front page.
Yeah.
We're going to be dealing with this for months, it would seem, going ahead. And there'll be constant scrutiny of how the Trump administration is handling it. We'll be interested to see, for example, how this impacts the president's political standing with the country. There's only been a couple of polls since this started. And right now he's holding steady, somewhat more disapproval than approval, but it's close right now. So we'll have to get more data on that. But certainly that'll be part of it. And what do those who want to replace Trump, what are they offering as a remedy to deal with the situation? We got hints of that from the debate on Sunday between Biden and Sanders. But right now, the underpinning of the strong economy that Donald Trump was depending on to sort of deliver him four more years or in reelection, that would have to be in question now with the volatile stock market. And, you know, what is the overall effect on the economy, the social fabric of the country going forward? And this election is still more than 8 months away.
Exactly. You know, my sense, and I may well be wrong, but my sense is that this is so big and so worrisome and extends into so many different aspects of individuals' lives that I don't think people are talking politics anymore, at the moment at least. They're not thinking about it. They're not talking about it. They're talking about, where do I get, you know, the next roll of toilet paper, or, you know, how do I keep my grandma safe, and, you know, all these kinds of things. Now, that may turn. That very well may turn. But I think it just seems that at the moment that politics is way, way off in a corner somewhere.
Oh, I think you're right. And I think how the president handles this over the next several months will really, you know, could determine the outcome of the election. We've had previous cases in the past after 9/11. George W. Bush was generally praised for how he did that. He won a second term. But if there's an awful lot of scrutiny, like with Jimmy Carter and the Iran hostage situation, that goes in a negative way, it can have a certain political impact as well. So, yes, I think you're right. People are really focused on the virus situation right now, and politics is second, but it will have a huge impact on politics going forward.
Jim Malone, thank you so much for the thoughts.
You bet.
Happening now in Asia, a new World Bank report says Thailand's poverty rate has been rising in recent years despite steady, if slow, overall economic growth, widening the gap between rich and poor in Southeast Asia's second largest economy. Analysts see a direct link between those figures and results of last year's general elections. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in Australia continues to rise. Doctors say the infections do not at this stage appear to be influenced by warmer weather. Last month, U.S. President Donald Trump predicted the pandemic would end in April with warmer temperatures in the Northern Hemisphere, although today he suggested it could go on several months beyond that. Australia has about 300 confirmed COVID-19 cases. 5 people have died. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Scientists around the world are racing to unlock the secrets of the COVID-19 virus in search of a vaccine. The disease was first reported in China late last year. Some experts have been hoping the new coronavirus might behave like influenza that thrives in cold, dry air and start to fade as the summer months arrive in temperate parts of the Northern Hemisphere. Understanding any seasonality of COVID-19 could eventually help to determine the best time to administer any vaccine. However, there are no clear signs that warmer conditions will subdue or stop the virus. Australia is in the first month of autumn, but temperatures are still in the 20s and 30s Celsius, and infections continue to increase. Brad McKay, a Sydney doctor and author, says the indications here are that heat has not slowed the spread of COVID-19.
We are seeing that things have been pretty terrible in the Northern Hemisphere, and particularly around Italy. We hope that as the summer months come along that things will improve, but we really don't know. And we're still seeing the spread very quickly throughout Australia, and the weather's still been relatively warm and hot. So I can't say that the sun will save people. I think that the viruses can still spread from people to people even during the summer months.
Australia and New Zealand have now ordered all international arrivals into mandatory quarantine in a bid to slow the spread of the new coronavirus. It's unclear how Australia's coronavirus quarantine orders will be enforced. The government has said that everyone arriving from overseas will have to shut themselves away for 2 weeks. Those who don't will be committing an offence, according to the Prime Minister. Foreign cruise liners will also be prevented from docking in Australia for 30 days. Gatherings of 500 people or more are also banned from Monday. Cases of the COVID-19 virus have been confirmed in every Australian state. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Coming up, the COVID-19 infection of the economy. You're listening to VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. Japan plans to widen travel warnings to much of Europe, urging people to avoid trips there as the coronavirus pandemic spreads, according to public broadcaster NHK. The Level 3 advisory urges people to avoid all travel and asks Japanese residents there to prepare for possible evacuation. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, fears are growing that disruptions from the coronavirus pandemic will strangle U.S. economic growth and send the country into a recession, a period of economic contraction. VOA's Brian Padden reports the White House is considering a range of short-term measures to ease the financial strain on affected businesses and workers, but economists warn that the more the virus spreads, the greater the economic impact and the longer it may take to recover.
In the United States, there is increasing concern over the economic disruptions caused by the coronavirus, now classified as a pandemic.
We would expect that this is going to potentially be a weak economic period for the United States. We will not see the growth that we had projected.
The travel industry has already been devastated by coronavirus outbreaks on cruise ships and by widespread air travel cancellations. Advisories against public gatherings have prompted the cancellation of conferences, music festivals, and sporting events, and has left restaurants and theaters struggling to survive. Partial closure of factories in China that make automobile parts are raising concerns that American car makers will have to cut production. Financial markets have reacted with fear and extreme volatility, with stock values and oil prices plummeting.
My fellow Americans.
On Wednesday, President Trump announced a ban on most travel from Europe and financial relief for affected workers and businesses. But he also sought to reassure the public about the economy.
This is not a financial crisis. This is just a temporary moment of time that we will overcome together as a nation and as a world.
The president has proposed temporary tax cuts and loans for affected industries and workers. The White House is also considering paid family leave for workers, but it is unclear how it would be implemented.
Usually in the business world, this is something that business people would become very, very concerned about and typically not like. But I think right now we're facing a public health crisis.
Passing new spending measures will require support from Democrats in Congress, who want extra funding for medical testing and care, expanded unemployment insurance, and increased spending on social safety net programs.
It will add to the federal deficit in the short term, but that's important if it means protecting the safety and security of the American public and restoring the economic confidence needed to go forward.
Decisive measures are needed soon, say analysts, to provide immediate relief to those affected and to hasten an economic recovery after the outbreak ends. Brian Padden, VOA News, Washington.
This news from VOA Asia. The Japanese man who killed 19 disabled patients in a brutal knife attack in 2016 has been sentenced to death by hanging. 30-year-old Satoshi Yamamatsu was convicted and sentenced Monday in the Yokohama District Court of the worst mass killing in Japan's post-World War II era. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, coronavirus is most dangerous to the elderly and those with weakened immune systems. Since the first fatalities in the United States originated from a nursing home facility in the state of Washington, there is deep concern among health experts, patients, and their families that elder care facilities are especially vulnerable. VOA's Julie Tabo has more.
The first deaths from the coronavirus in the U.S. took place at the Life Care Center, a nursing home in Kirkland, Washington, in late February. So far, more than 20 people have died in the state, the great majority of them residents from the Kirkland facility. It has been a heart-wrenching time for Vanessa Phelps, whose 90-year-old mother is a resident of the Life Care Center. She hasn't been able to see her since the center went into lockdown.
So she's feeling claustrophobic, depressed, stressed. This past week, she's felt the stress of the staff and me not being able to visit her.
That's the kind of scenario health experts are worried about. As the number of cases continue to rise, experts are increasingly concerned about the spread of COVID-19 in elder care facilities across the country.
It is a concern, and I think the experience out in Washington State has been enlightening that this virus is deadly for the elderly and those with impaired immune systems. So in those type of facilities where there are clustered groups of elderly, they need to work really hard to keep the virus out of their facility.
The situation in Washington State is tragic. An outbreak in a long-term care facility is one of the things we have been worried about from day one.
Part of the concern is the general shortage of coronavirus test kits. So residents in elder care facilities are being quarantined while they wait, which is causing anxiety and uncertainty for family members like Phelps.
If emergencies happen like this, you should be prepared. Separate the people that have it and don't have it. Test everybody.
Health experts say they are working on that and providing guidelines to facilities across the country should the virus strike.
If a resident becomes sick in a nursing home with what's called an influenza-like illness, which is fever, sometimes cough, shortness of breath, other signs like that, the staff know that that person needs not only appropriate clinical evaluation and care, but also precautions to prevent the spread to other residents.
Staff and visitors are also being told to self-quarantine for 2 weeks if they think they've been exposed to the virus. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
Swirling colors, abstract images, and fantastical paintings are featured on the outside of buildings and walls throughout Miami, Florida. When she could, VOA's Deborah Block strolled the streets, and she takes us to the city's street art scene.
Miami, Florida is known for its street art.
You would know my work a lot by these drip backgrounds and then my dot patterns that I do around the figures, create this like aura.
The best known street art is at the Wynwood neighborhood walls.
So it all started right here, just in this little parking lot.
Artist Peter Tunney has a gallery in Wynwood Walls. Although he is not a street artist, he was involved in the project from the beginning that brought in artists from around the world.
We've had a little over 100 artists paint walls here at the Wynwood Walls from about 30 different countries. You have Japan, Spain, L.A.
Every artist has a story to tell.
There's a lot of environmental activism within street art, and there's a lot of activism within street art on how we treat each other, wrongful incarceration, mental illness, addiction.
Street art originated by using spray paint to tag and illegally write signatures on buildings. And then some graffiti artists turned to spray painting murals.
We'd go out at night and go tagging and sometimes find some walls where we're often very desolate areas and maybe do some murals.
Every few years, a mural at Wynwood Walls is painted over with a new image, sometimes by the same artist. 3 million people visit each year.
It makes you feel like the pictures are alive.
One artist used an unusual tool to create his piece.
This is Vils. He's from Portugal. He jackhammered the wall. You see, some of it still falls apart. It's like a work in progress.
Street artist Luis Valle, who has a college art degree, is painting murals outside the walls. They focus on nature and on indigenous cultures.
Something that I grew up just always liking and gravitated to, being from Nicaragua and growing up in Miami, I found the colors and palettes of indigenous cultures very similar.
He doesn't always have the perfect wall to paint on.
This piece had this box here, whatever it is, that had a workaround. So I just decided to add this bird on top of it. So that's a way to work with what you got.
Both Valle and street artist Marcus Blake are paid by clients who want to brighten their buildings.
Literally made it a more like colorful place, you know, more than just white walls.
The Jamaican-born artist has a distinct style.
This is called Tapenology. Done with masking tape and I'm into geometrics, and it's really the patterns build themselves.
Blake is proud of his work in what used to be an empty lot. Deborah Block, VOA News, Miami.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. In this time when it seems that everything in our world is changing, there is a constant. VOA Asia will be with you each and every day to bring you the latest news and information. So we hope that you stay safe You wash your hands, and we gather together at this time each day for more VOA Asia. We'd like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Peter Hunley. Very dedicated thank you, gentlemen, for being with us today, as well as our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard, and our managing editor, Diane Gao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We wish you all the best.